Well, I greet each one of you this morning in Jesus' name. I am grateful to be here with you this morning. I can say that I've been blessed already with what has been shared. I appreciated Brother Mike's meditation on faith. Goes very well with what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you this morning. One of the things that especially, I guess, stood out and has stood out to me in the past is the way that our faith is likened unto gold, gold tried in the fire it speaks of. And it's been interesting to me, you know, what is it about gold tried in fire? I have, going down to Mexico, that we used to go into an area where they had mined gold at one time, gold and silver. And one time while walking through the river there, I found this chunk of rock. And I don't know for sure what the vein is that's in it there, but it's some type of a precious metal that you can see the vein in that rock. I stuck it in my pocket and brought it home. Now I could find out by putting some heat to that rock whether it was gold or not. You know, there are, as Brother Mike mentioned, there are some other things that look a lot like gold. The way to find out if they are is to put some heat to them. There's a thing that's called fool's gold. It looks a whole lot like gold, and many people have gotten it and thought they had gold. But you put the heat to it, and it does something completely different than gold does. You put the heat to that, and it starts crackling and popping and putting off an awful odor. But you put the heat to gold, and it just gets finer. It just gets purer. What kind of faith do we have? Is it one that when the heat gets turned up, we start crackling and popping and smoking and putting off a bad odor? Or is it one that just gets finer? All right, maybe we could just all rise for prayer before I start here. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful that we can come before you again this morning. We thank you for the blessing, Lord, that we have of gathering together in this way as brothers and sisters to encourage each other and to exhort each other in the most holy faith. I pray, O God, that you would be with me, Father, and that you would anoint my lips. Lord, that you would give me unction of the Holy Spirit, that I could speak your word in truth and in clarity. Father, I do pray that you would have your way in each one of our hearts and draw us to yourself, that you would lead us into all truth. Father, I do pray for those who don't have the opportunities like we have here. Lord, we know there are those that would long to be gathered together in this way, and we pray that you would bless them and minister to their hearts. Wherever they are, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself and encourage their hearts and draw them to one another and to you. Lord, we just pray now that you would lead us on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I said the message goes very well with what I would like to share. I have titled the message, Be Thou Faithful. So we see we have part of that same word, or we have the full word there in my title, just part added to it, full, faithful. We live in a society, a busy, fussing, anxious society where you have all kinds of success-worshipping, depressed, anxiety attack, performance-oriented people going through life. You have nervous breakdowns and suicides and whatnot that go along with the society that we live in. The world needs to see a faithful people. The world needs to see people that will stand the test. To build just a little bit of a foundation before I go to my text, I'd like to just mention to you 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says there, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, he says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. So in both of these places, he speaks of us being bought. We've been bought with a price. So we're not our own. We are another man's. We are not our own. And so if we are not our own, we should not be doing our own thing. We should be doing that which the man who bought us for. We are his. Did he get all that he paid for? When God purchased you, did he get all of you? Or did he get part of you? Did he get all of you? Are you being faithful to the man that purchased you? And that's, I guess I shouldn't say man, because God is much more than a man. Are you being faithful to the God who purchased you? He purchased you with a great price. We've already heard this morning the great price that was paid for you and I. Are we being faithful to the one that purchased us? And the verse that I'd like to especially, or the text that I'd like to look at and to build from, is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll read the first two verses there, just two verses there to look at a bit and to meditate upon and see what God would say to us from them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Here he says in verse 1, let a man so account of us, and I think he's speaking of himself and possibly some other apostles or some other preachers of the gospel or whatever, as stewards of the mysteries of God. We're stewards, he says, of the mysteries of God. Let people so account of us as stewards of the mysteries of God. And then he goes on in verse 2, and he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He didn't say that it is expected in stewards that a man be found faithful. He didn't say that it is good for stewards to be found faithful. He didn't say that it would be nice if stewards were found faithful. He said it is required in stewards. It's a requirement. I looked to see how many times that word required is found in the New Testament, and it's very few times. And fewer yet when it says that it's a requirement of God. Here is one of them. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. I'd like to look very briefly today at some of the areas of our lives, some of the ways that it is required of us as stewards to be found faithful. Now, this particular passage is referring to the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. And some could say, well, now that was a preacher saying that they're stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, I would say to you this morning that every one of us who have been born again
have experienced the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from all sin, then we have become stewards of the mysteries of God. It's not just for some elite few. It's not just for some who preach the gospel. It is for all of us who have been born again and have experienced the washing of the regeneration and been brought unto a new life in Christ Jesus. It is for us, I believe, to be faithful stewards of the mysteries that He has given to us. What is the definition of faithful? And this word faithful comes from the Greek word pistos. And here's what it means. It's trusty. It's faithful. Of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. One who kept his plighted faith worthy of trust that can be relied on. One that can be relied on. In years past, and even in some countries today, when they came to the altar or when they gave their life to Christ, they made that choice knowing full well that it could very well mean that they could be faithful and go to the stake and die, or they could be unfaithful and recant or whatever they were asked to do and maybe save their lives. Today, faithfulness is not something like that in this country, at least, for the most part. When we come to be born again, it's usually not that we expect that, okay, now we are going to have a choice, being faithful to God and going to the stake and either be beheaded or burned alive or whatever it may be that they did there in those days to kill the people. We don't expect that to be the case. And though it could be. It could be that time will come for us. But today, in this country, it's not so much that way. Today, we are called to faithfulness in many other ways. We're called to faithfulness in our everyday lives. And I'd like to look at a few of those areas. And I will not go in depth on any of them. But I'd like to look at a few of them. And I'll just mention here, at the outset, some of those areas. One of them is money. Faithfulness in money. In time. In our occupations. In our marriages. In witnessing and in admonition. In prayer and meditation and reading. In rearing our children if we have children. In conduct. And in the talents that God has given us. I'll begin with money. And I am not putting this in any order of importance. Maybe you were thinking, well, that should have been the last one. But you know, money is something that we all deal with to some extent, one part or another. And if you'd like to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 16, I think we can clearly see here that God talked about money. Jesus talked about money. And He told us a bit about how we ought to use money. Luke chapter 16, and I'll start reading in verse 1. And He said also unto His disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him, that he had wasted his goods. And He called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Going back to verse 9. And I say unto you, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And I'll just give you a little of my understanding of this verse. It's been one that I've heard many people talk about. It's one that I will have to say it doesn't seem to me to really be a very clear verse. But my understanding of it here is what he's saying is, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Mammon is just possessions, money, possessions, whatever you have. So that's what mammon is. He says, make to yourselves friends, and I'll put in there, with mammon. And how do we make friends with mammon? Okay, you know, some would say, well, that's just bribing or whatever. Let me finish what I'm saying here. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all here. What he is saying, I feel, it says then that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Okay, so if we make friends, and I would say, let's say make converts with the mammon. Make converts with mammon, that when you fail, they have gone on before you and they're in heaven to receive you into everlasting habitations. That's the only everlasting habitation I know of, is heaven. That they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And I don't know for sure that that's what Jesus was saying, but I'll throw that out as at least a scriptural definition of it, I believe. Okay, going on from that, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So I take from what Jesus is saying here that he is coming right out and saying that money is the least. He that is faithful in money, which is the least, one of the least things you can be faithful in, is faithful in much. So in some sense, God is giving us money as a test. He's giving us money to see whether we're going to be faithful in this least thing that he gives us. In this least thing that we have, are we being faithful in the least of the things that we're required to be faithful in? He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So he's saying, if we aren't faithful in mammon, who's going to commit to our trust the true riches? If we aren't being faithful in this, and so what are ways that we can be faithful? Do you think it would be faithful for us to go out and waste our money on things which have no profit? Is that being faithful? You answer the question. in your own heart. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Will God commit to our trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, we're stewards. If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? What about? How do you give? Are you being faithful in your giving? And I'm not saying these things because I have any inclination or idea that any of you are not being. I'm saying this because I believe that it's something that's good for us to look at and ponder in our hearts and see for ourselves whether we are being faithful. Faithful in the things that we are called to be faithful to. Some will say, well, it's just money. Just money. So, I mean, I've heard that saying, it's just money. I mean, so blow it. No. You're a steward. And you're called to be faithful as a steward in that money that comes into your possession. Can you be counted on? What about your bills? Are you faithful? Am I faithful? Is your word true? You tell them, I'll pay you at such and such a time. Can they count on that to be the case? And you know, I expect that's the way it is with you. Because as children of God who are serving God, that is the way it ought to be. So I'm not saying this because I expect it's not that way. I'm just saying, you know, that is the way it ought to be, I believe. I'd like to move on to number two, and I have made that time. Are you being faithful? Am I being faithful with time? You know, every single one of us is given the exact same amount of time each day. There's 24 hours in every day, not a minute more and not a minute less. You have some authority, and some of you children not as much, but all of us have some authority as to what we do with the time that we have. What are we doing? And I would just give you the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. These days, that if the days were evil then, how much more are the days evil today? And he's saying, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Redeem the time, I think another reason that we should redeem the time is because it's short. We only have so much of it. Yes, we have 24 hours. Everyone has the same amount per day, but not everyone has the same amount per lifetime. And no one, even if they live to be 100 years old or even beyond that, no one has an infinite amount of it. And no one has a whole lot, and at least by the age, my age, you will feel like probably. There's just not that much time. I mean, time flies, they talk. It's gone before you know it. And I have some older ones here nodding their heads in agreement. You know, some of you younger ones are probably thinking, it's sure going pretty slow as far as I can tell. I remember when I heard older people talking about how time flies, and I was thinking, you know, not really. But you just wait and you'll see. You'll see. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I'm still, in many ways, I think of myself as maybe 15, 16 or something, you know. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like that old. Time. How faithful are we being with the time that we have? Do we waste time? Do we redeem every moment of our days? We're not our own. We're God's. we're here. And as God's, it's required that we're faithful with what we have. Are we being faithful with our time? A brother and I were just talking this past week. And he was saying, you know, it seemed to him that it takes more self-discipline in our day than it did just a few years back. And he mentioned, you know, all of the gadgets and things that we have in our day which call for our attention. And I agree with him. I agree there are so many things that you can do today that just a few years ago weren't even possible to be done. And I told him, I said, you know, to me, it's ironic that it seems we never have time. And yet we have more time-saving gadgets and devices than they've ever had in history. I mean, you've got all kinds of things to save time, and yet we're running out of it all of the time. How can that be? We've got all of these time-saving devices, and yet we don't have any time. Well, let us be faithful stewards with the time that God gives us. I think I'll move on. Number three, and I've put that down as witnessing / our testimony. How faithful are we in our witness? And that can be speaking or our lives. How faithful are we in that? In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You know, I believe that it is much harder for us to speak into someone's life. You know, maybe give some admonition or point out an area in their lives where we see a problem. It's harder for us to do that than it is to just brush it over, let it roll, let it go by. It's much harder. It's like it says there in Proverbs, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." You can count on it. If you have a friend come to you and point out something to that, that's a faithful thing. Even though it may hurt when he does it or she does it, it is a faithful thing of them to do that. And you should thank them, and I should thank them when that is the case, because it is a faithful thing to do that. Are we being faithful in that? In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." How faithful are we in that area? When we know something that others don't know, do we make it our business to go broadcast it? Or are we faithful in keeping it? In the New Testament, it speaks of love covering a multitude of sins. Back in the 1940s, I'll just give you a story to illustrate our testimony. And there are many that could be given. But back in the 1940s, down in Georgia, it was a time of segregation, a time when feelings were running pretty high between blacks and whites. They, much more so there than probably here in our area that we live in here. We used to live in Tennessee, and there, even to this day, you have a great amount of, especially in the older people, of animosity towards one another, both black and white that way. But there's a man by the name of Clarence Jordan, a very gifted man, who grew up in an affluent home there in Georgia. He had as much as anyone could ask for probably in those days, and he looked and he seen the injustices that were happening around him. He's seen the way that the blacks were being treated, and he knew it wasn't right. I believe he grew up in a Christian home, but I'm not sure about that. But at any rate, he decided he was going to do something about it. And so he went to college and took a course in agriculture, got a PhD in agriculture. And when he was in college, he decided, you know, there needed to be more than just something done. The reason he wanted to get it in agriculture is he thought, you know, I'm going to try to teach these poor black people how to make a living. We're going to work together for one common shared goal and purpose, and we're going to work together as brothers. Had a very noble goal in doing that. But as he was there, he decided that, you know, there's more of a spiritual dimension that needs to be addressed as well. And so he went to seminary and he got a PhD in New Testament Greek. But back in 1942, he bought, along with another family, 440 acres in Americus, Georgia. And they named the place Koinonia Farm. I don't know, some of you have probably heard of it. Koinonia Farm. Koinonia meaning communion or fellowship. Fellowship farm. And what they did is they went in there and they invited those poor black people and those others to come in there, and they worked together on the farm to make a livelihood and to help each other, to have communion, to have fellowship one with another. Blacks and whites together. Now, in the South, this, in that day especially, was not well received. And they had all kinds of problems. The workers, when they'd go to town, would have their tires slashed. They would have all kinds of things done to them. Finally, in 1954, I believe it was, 12 years after he started, it was 1942 when he started, 1954, the Ku Klux Klan had enough of it. They came in there one night and they burned the buildings, all but the one that Clarence himself lived in. They burned all the buildings down. They went through and they riddled his house with bullets. He heard the people outside, and he recognized the voices. He heard some of them. Some of them were good church people. One of them was a newspaper reporter that he knew. He heard them outside. The next day, he was out in the field, and here this newspaper reporter comes. And he says, "Hey, Dr. Clarence, I came to do a story on your farm closing." Clarence Jordan was out there hoeing and planting, and he just kept on hoeing. "Hey, I heard your farm burned down, and I'm out here to do a report on it." He kept hoeing. Finally, he decided he's going to try to get him stirred up a little bit, and he said, "Dr. Jordan, you got two of them there PhDs. Now, how much good do you think they're doing you here? How successful would you say you are?" And Clarence Jordan stopped hoeing for a minute, and he looked at him and he said, "About as successful as the cross." And then he said to that newspaper reporter, he said, "I don't think you understand us. I'm not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful. I'm going on with my crop." And then he kept right on going. And you know, that is one of the things that is, I think, is one of the key points that we should look at here this morning. We're not called to be successful. That's not what we're called to. We're called to be faithful. You know, we are so results-oriented in our time. You know, we equate the two as being equal, and they're not. He could not be looked at that point as a successful man. He could have probably started his own company, his own business with the talent that man had. And it came out in other ways in years to come as well. But he had a very gifted person he was. And he chose. He chose to live a humble, poor life with blacks, whites together. Now think about it. How much easier would it have been for him to just live a good Christian life and not buck the tide, not be there and causing all this trouble in the community? It would have been so much easier, wouldn't it? It would have been so much easier for Clarence Jordan for him to have just gone about life. You know, he could have been a pastor in a church. He could have preached the gospel. It would have been well accepted as long as he didn't buck the tide of opinion in his day. But he chose to do what's right. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about our witness, our testimony. Are we willing? You know, we can go into plain circles. We can go into evangelical circles. Are we willing to buck the tide, to speak out for the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? No, I am not asking that we become some fanatics or something like, although maybe some people would think we should be or are if we do some of those things. But I do believe that there is something to be said about standing up for the truth when we see that it's not being stood up for. Standing up for right principles. Clarence Jordan was willing to do that. We are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. Someone once said, "To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory." We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that He sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor kids' troubles instead of saying, "Get lost." Go to a committee meeting. Give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually, giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little, over the long haul. I believe that's the definition of faithfulness. That we, rather than trying, as he says here, go out in a blaze of glory, we dispense of our lives a little here. In our everyday lives, being faithful in those little things, 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Maybe it's a penny or a dime or a nickel. You know, we all probably know people who every time you're around them, they have a sob story to tell you. You know, I'm just this poor little me, and nobody treats me like I ought to be treated, and I'm always passed over for promotions, and they don't respect me like they ought. Have you tried being faithful in the little things? Have you tried being faithful right where you are in the little things? Because I can tell you, if you are, you will get plenty of responsibilities handed your way. Because the world is looking, the church is looking, the families are looking for faithful people that will do what is required of them to do. The world needs it. The world needs faithful men and women. It's drowning in people that are not faithful. I mean, if you look at the infidelity of the world, if you look at the unfaithfulness that we have in our society today, does it not need, my brothers and sisters, faithful men and women to show by their lives that they're living faithfully to God and that their lives conform to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ? I believe it's needed today as much or more than it has ever been needed in our time. It's needed in our everyday lives, not just Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or any other meetings that we have. It's needed more in our everyday lives. It's needed in the everyday shoe leather where the world can see that we've been changed, that we're being faithful to Him who has called us. Number four, occupation. Are we being faithful in our occupation? And some of us are self-employed, and so we may have lots of bosses. Some of us are not, and so we may only have one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So as we go through our daily lives working for a living, let us do it in singleness of heart, as it says here. As unto the Lord. Imagine that. Everything I'm doing today, I'm doing to the Lord. I'm working for my boss as unto the Lord. Faithfulness. Someone once said, between the things that are too small for you to bother with and the things that are beyond your ability to accomplish, you actually do very little for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the way we feel? You know, well, that's just a little bit below me. I mean, I have so much more talent. You can let somebody else that don't have it do that. And then, you know, this other thing, well, really don't have the talent to do that. And so it ends up we just don't have very much that really fits our job description. Jesus said, those who are faithful in the little things will be made ruler over much. I'm going on to marriage. And as I said, I'm just barely touching. Brother Mike mentioned scratching the surface. I'm not even sure whether I'm scratching it or not. But at least maybe it's enough to cause us to ponder it. Marriage. Faithfulness in marriage. And here is an area that, you know, I believe that we are faithful, at least to the most part, probably all of us here. Except maybe when it comes to thoughts and that type of thing. I believe that if we look at what Jesus said there, it's he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her. And, you know, I think that is the area that we have to also be faithful in that there are, that our thoughts are kept in captivity to the obedience of Christ. But we live in a society where that is not the case. And I believe that is one of the clearest witnesses and testimony that we can have is when we have that faithfulness one to another in our marriages. It speaks loudly. I know it does. Statistically, they say that 65% of men by the age of 40, have had an affair. 65%. 35% of women. Then these are older statistics back in 2001. So that gives you some idea of the unfaithfulness. That isn't even talking about divorces and remarriages and those type of things. This is just affairs in marriages. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, and the whole chapter would be a good one to look at, but I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses here. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You know, that is the case when you have a virtuous woman, when you have a virtuous wife. You know, that's the way it is for me. My heart doth safely trust in her. I can go anywhere I want, and I don't have a qualm. I don't have a thought at all. My heart doth safely trust in her. And you know, I believe most of you men can say the same thing here today. My heart doth safely trust in her. Now let's turn this around. Who can find a virtuous man? For his price is far above rubies. The heart of his wife doth safely trust in him, so that she shall have no need of spoil. He will do her good and not evil all the days of his life. I think it's only right that we read it that way too. Can our wives say that of us? They should be able to. They should be able to. Their heart doth safely trust in him. All right, going on to prayer, meditation, and reading of the Word of God. Are we being faithful in those areas? In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 23, it says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Samuel says here, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. In what way? In not praying for you. Are we sinning against the Lord? Are we being faithful in this area of our lives in praying? Meditation. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Verse 15, "Meditate upon these things." I think sometimes we have reacted. You know, we have this meditation that is not right today, the transcendental meditation and those type of things, and maybe there's a reaction and say, "Oh, no meditation. We're out of that. That's none for us." Clearly, Paul didn't feel that way. He said, "Meditate." And you know, if I've had done a study years ago already and looked at the scriptures that speak of meditation, and it's over and over and over, you'll find these scriptures that speak of us meditating. One of the things that keeps us from meditating, and I'm not talking about the type of Hindu or Buddhist type of meditation that you have, where they do these, like I mentioned, transcendental and those type of things. Not at all. But meditating upon the Word of God, meditating upon God and letting Him speak to us. I think that's part of prayer, is not just us having a one-way conversation with God, but letting God speak back to us. You know, we are so busy sometimes talking to God that we don't have any time to listen to what God says to us. I think that's one of the things that comes with meditation, is listening to what God is saying through His Word, meditating and hearing Him speak back to us. You know, if you're so busy, can you hear when you're talking? Can you hear what others are saying? It's very difficult to hear what others are saying if you're so busy talking that you don't hear it. And I think it's the same way with our speaking to God. We hear a lot about prayer in our day. But do we hear about listening to God, or listening to what He has to say, meditating upon the Word of God? Paul tells Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. There's going to be a profiting coming from that, is what Paul says. You're going to have some profiting coming from doing that, and then let it appear to all. Faithfulness in prayer, in meditation, and in reading the Word of God. All right, moving on to conduct, our abilities and talents. And you can turn to Matthew chapter 25, if you'd like to, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he said, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has given each one of us different gifts, talents. We should use and exercise them. Paul said to Timothy, exercise the gift that is in thee. It's a little the way they talk about exercise in our physical body. They say if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use the muscles, you lose the muscles. And it's the same way, I believe, in exercising the God-given abilities and gifts that God has given us. If we don't exercise them, we lose them. And I believe if we exercise them, we gain even more to them. And it's a little bit the same as the talents there. You know, if we exercise what God gives us, we will multiply them. We will add to them what God has already given. And yes, we are still His. That's only to be expected. It's only a reasonable service for us to give to Him who hath bought us.
And I believe that is one area that is very, very needful for us to recognize that, you know, for some, oh, it's humble to say, oh, I'm just a poor, I don't have any abilities, and I can't do that, and I'm not good at this, and I'm not good at that, and yeah, that's the humble thing to say. No, not really. No, you shouldn't be proud about these things because they're not yours anyhow. It's something that's been given to you. Should we be proud that someone gave us a gift? Not really. We should bless the one that gave them. We should bless the one and direct that back to Him. You know, that's what we're told to do. If you look at what Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we should be doing those good works. That's why our light should shine, as it says there, that they may see our good works and glorify God. The attention should be directed away from us and to our Heavenly Father. Let that be the case with our abilities and gifts that God has given us. No, it's not particularly humble to try to minimize them. If God has given us gifts in an area, let's exercise them where we're asked to exercise them and where the place is given for that. And I found it interesting too, you know, when Jesus there comes and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He didn't say, "Well done, thou good and successful servant." He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'd like to give you another story to illustrate just how, you know, how easy it is for us to pass over our abilities. This one is of Kate Shelley. She was born in Ireland back in 1865, we think. And when she was only 9 months old, her parents moved to Illinois. They stayed there with some relatives for a bit of time and then moved on to Iowa and got a quarter section of land there to farm. Her dad tried for some time to farm, and the land that they had gotten was not very good, and he ended up going to work on the railroad. When she was only 12 years old, he died in an accident on that railroad. She was the oldest of the children. I think there was four other children. Just a short time after he died, the oldest one of her brothers drowned in the nearby river. They lived right where the Des Moines River and Honey Creek, I think is the name of the tributary that comes into the Des Moines River there. They lived right there, kind of in that Y of it there. And he drowned in the Des Moines River. But what I'd like to point out to you about her, her mother, because of the strain and stress of losing her husband and son, I don't know what all caused it, but she became an invalid. And so the responsibilities fell on Kate. She became the head of the household in many ways. But then when she was 16 years old, it was on July the 6th, 1881, the day started as a nice, clear day, and she went about her duties as normal. But by dusk that evening, there were some severe thunderstorms rolling in. It had rained quite a bit before that already, and so the creek and river were at flood stage. And so they kept an eye, her and her mother kept an eye on the river and things, and after dark, she recognized that there was a barn out there, and so she waded out there because there were some horses out in the barn, and she waded out through the water to turn the horses loose and get them out of there so they could get out on some higher ground. A little bit later on, about 11 o'clock at night, she was still awake.
they were concerned. They lived close enough to the railroad there that they could watch the old engines as they came by. And they heard this old number 12 coming down the track. It blew its whistle a couple times, and then they heard an awful sound of hissing and crashing as it crashed down into the tributary, the Honey Creek or whatever it was there. At this point, Kate had a choice what to do, because she knew that this wasn't the last train for the night. There was another train coming at midnight. And so she grabbed on an old coat and had just an old worn skirt on, grabbed her father's old railroad lantern, and headed out into the dark. She went over to where the locomotive had crashed through and found two of the men hanging into the trees, but there was no way that she could rescue them. And she knew that in order to stop this train, someone had to go the distance to the next station and stop it. And so she went over. There was a bridge. She had to cross this long bridge across the Des Moines River. She went over, and it was so dark she couldn't see. Her lantern blew out, and she got down on her hands and knees. They had purposefully made this bridge to where people wouldn't want to walk across it because it was too dangerous. They went and left big areas of gaps so people wouldn't be tempted to walk across this bridge. Well, now this young 16-year-old girl, no, she didn't run, try to find somebody else to do the task. She got down on her hands and knees, and she felt for one tie after the other, till at last her hands hit the dirt again, and then she got up and ran. She ran and ran till she came to the station. She was so wore out, she actually fainted right after she told them about the bridge collapsing. When she told the first man she met there, she said, the bridge is out, you have to stop the train. He thought she was beside herself or something. She fainted, and when she came to, there was some gathered around, and someone had recognized who she was and said, you better stop the train. Pick that out. They recognized who she was and said, you better stop the train. Well, anyhow, by this time she revived some, and she said, let me go with you. Let me go with the rescue party. Well, let's go get these men. And she wouldn't hear otherwise, so they took her. They took her back, and they stopped that other train. They had a rescue party. They rescued two of the men. I think two of them drowned. Years went by. She still was just Kate Shelley. There were suitors that would have liked to have married her, but she had to care for her mother. She had to care for an invalid sibling. I can't remember whether it was a brother or sister. She stayed there rather than marry. This actually, the thing that she'd done hit the newspapers, and there was an outpouring of support. Even the train that was stopped, there was 200 people on board that train, and they took up a $200 donation to give to her. They were poor people, very poor people. Imagine the father gone, the oldest brother gone. How were they making money back in the 1880s? It was a time of, where they didn't have a lot of money. Anyhow, this $200 went some way, but a few years later, somebody found out that their place was mortgaged and that it was being foreclosed. And again, the news, some reporters got a hold of the story, and they spread it. And they sold a fur rug in some Chicago store enough to pay off the debt on the place. But anyhow, that's just the story. I just want to give you that story and point out a few of the areas of faithfulness of Kate. First of all, she was faithful in letting the horses out of the stable. She was faithful. I mean, it would have been faithful even if she would have just went and said, you know, hey, I'm a 16-year-old girl, and I really don't know that I can make it to the station. It would have been faithful of her to run and get somebody else. But no, she said, I believe I can do it, and she went and done it. You know, that is faithfulness in shoe leather. That is faithfulness when you see somebody that rather than, oh, well, it's not really my job description. It's not really what I'm called to do. It's not really what I am expected to do. But you go ahead and do it anyhow. You know, those are the kind of people. I had a minister one time that said that there's two types of church people. There's the criticizers, and then there's the doers. There's the ones that criticize, you know, just everything is done. They can find a reason why it shouldn't have been done that way, and it shouldn't be done this way. And then there's the ones that just go do something about it and get it, make it where it is the way it ought to be. You know, I think let us all be doers. Let us be faithful and doing what needs to be done and doing something about it rather than, yeah, anybody can find the things that are wrong with society. Anybody can find things that are wrong in the church. We can all do that, but how many of us will do something about it? That's faithfulness, is when we do something about it. That's what Kate Shelley did. She done something about it. She done what she could. 16 years old, but she done it. She died young. And I don't know whether it was because of all of the hardships that she went through or not, but she did die young. All right, I would like to try to bring this to a close. I believe a faithful Christian is a growing Christian. If you are faithful, if I am faithful, we will grow. If we're faithful in what God shows us to do, gives us to do, we will grow. I'd like to just point out a couple of examples in closing of men who were faithful. I'd point out Moses, first of all. In Numbers chapter 12, I'll read a few verses there. Numbers chapter 12, verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come ye out ye three, and unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Who is faithful in all mine house. That's again the testimony that we read of Moses in Hebrews. It says the same thing. He was faithful in all his house. I think that is a very nice epitaph, if we could say it that way, to have to our name, if it could be said of us, that we were faithful in all our house. Daniel said of him, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. For as much as he was faithful. Paul writes about Timothy, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto thee Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. He writes of Epaphras the same, who is for you a faithful minister. That's in Colossians 1:7. Colossians 4:7, he speaks of Tychicus, and he says, and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. All right, in
The last verse I think I'll read is from Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. That's where I got my title, Be Thou Faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. He didn't say, be thou successful. We're not going to hear the glad tidings from our Lord at the end of time, thou good and successful servant. We'll hear, thou good and faithful servant. Be thou faithful, and I will give thee a crown of life. May we hear those blessed words, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God bless each one of you.
I want to thank you, brother, for your faithfulness in sharing a word with us here this morning. It was an inspiring message. It convicted my heart and challenged me to endeavor to be more faithful. Does anyone want to give a word of testimony or comment on the message? If you raise your hand, we can get a mic to you then. Brother Ed, can you get a mic to him?
I appreciate the encouragement to be faithful in the little things. Sometimes we look for the big things, but it's the little things that really add up and count. And I was reminded of 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul's encouraging Timothy to look for faithful men. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So we want to be faithful men. I want to be one of those faithful men.
Thank you. Any others? Brother Ephraim.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you, Brother Simon, for taking the time and coming to us this morning, giving us the word of life. I appreciated it. Thinking about being faithful, and faith being the root word of faithful, you know, it seems like the religious world has been successful in watering down the word faith and misinterpreting it and such. But it's helpful to me to remember that faith is the root word of faithful. And James tells us that faith without works is dead. And that means that we've heard about the living faith this morning. Faith in shoe leather.
That's right. And
one of the things that stuck out to me the most was the idea of living the Christian life little by little in faithfulness. You know, it's often those little things that really test who we are. The things that people will generally not take notice of, and the things that there's no glamour, no glory in it, just the little things that we plod along and do faithfully day by day. Also the reminder that there in Luke 16, that's one of the more loved chapters by me, and one of the things there that always sticks out to me is that Jesus is very clear that money is not the true riches. Money doesn't belong among the true riches. But we are given it, and some of what happens there is it's testing of who we are. It really does test us. So may God help us to be faithful this day and tomorrow and the next day and the rest of our life.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Anyone else? Okay, Brother Galen.
I would also like to add my yay and amen for a faithful message and faithful messenger. Thank you very much. And I had quite a few thoughts going through as Simon was talking. And with what Ephraim just said, sometimes faithfulness is line upon line, precept upon precept. Mm-hmm. It's not giant leap by giant leap. It's just faithful in the little things. And I often think of that scripture, however it said in King James, I'm not quite sure, but the line upon line and precept upon precept with respect to meditation also, which you mentioned, and the whole thing about transcendental meditation and all that other stuff that's out there, they stole it from us.
It's a counterfeit, yes.
And if you're not meditating on God's word because you don't want to be like them, it's the other way around. This is the way it's supposed to be. So I've not encountered anybody who's expressly said that. But and also the issue of exercise, use it or lose it. I can't help but think of the scripture in Hebrews 12, which I have here shortly. It's incredible what all the first half of Hebrews 12 has to say. It's just one where the Lord has lifted out more out of that section of Scripture for me personally than He has out of quite a few other places. But He's talking about pressing on, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who suffered so much, and to follow His example. It goes on, talks about discipline. And then it says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame may be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. And that notion about the exercise, needing to exercise ourselves and what we're doing. If you're just talking about it or just thinking about it, well, we do need exercise of the mind too, but there has to be some other shoe leather that gets exercised as well. And lastly, I guess the thing I think about too is seek first the kingdom of God. As we think about some of these things, they can be a burden and a weight to get them all done. Mm-hmm. But as we seek God's face, order should come, that the things that are most important get done first. And we have the freedom to move on and the other things fall in place.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Part of being faithful is understanding what's important and what's not important. Brother Nathan.
Okay. I just want to thank God for the message this morning. I really appreciated it. I was challenged by it, to see areas of need in my life there, but just also encouraged. And it's my desire to be faithful in the little things and to be full of faith, as the word. I mean, that's what it requires in order to be faithful. It takes a lot of faith, really. Recognizing that God is calling us to that, and when we have our faith in God, and it has the, when we have our faith in God, we have the right perspective of eternity, and we have those eternal values that does help us to be faithful. So that's my desire. I want to live for eternity and be faithful where God has called me to.
Yeah, that's good. It's my desire as well. There, Brother Kent.
I'd like to add my amen to the messages today also. I was thinking when you mentioned Samuel and that he's going to pray for the people. I was attending a church in Manhattan, Kansas back in the early 80s. And I remember an old man standing up and he wanted to give a praise report. He said that a person he'd been praying for 50 years had given his life to the Lord. And I thought, that's faithful. I'm barely 50 years old, so I can't hardly imagine praying for one soul for 50 years and then seeing that fruit come to fruition. And yet the challenge is there, and I know I fail at this point, but I'm encouraged with all that was shared today to try to be that faithful person God is looking for.
Thank you, brother. That's an example of faithfulness, 50 years of prayer. Anyone else? Sister Rachel?
Well, I have to say thank you to this message too. And I also want to be faithful till the end. Mm-hmm. The thing that really struck me is about time. it's just true that since I'm getting older, it seems like there's just time. It's just running out of our hands. I don't know where it's staying.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to waste time, really, I do. And I just want to and ask the Lord that I can be faithful till the end.
Amen. Any others? Yeah, that's fill our pockets with quarters and put them to good use this week.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.